Brother, we heard a picture of peace and harmony, which will be here during the millennium. And of course, the influence of Satan will have been completely removed at the return of Jesus Christ, and the world will know for the first time in 6,000 years what real peace and harmony really is. We will have received our reward to eternal life, and our jobs are outlined in Revelation, in the book of Revelation. So let's take a look at what it says. Could you turn now to me a scripture that you're familiar with over in Revelation 5, outlining our job description in Revelation 5. In verse 10, it says, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So, brethren, we're going to be priests and kings. That's what we're going to be in the world tomorrow when we get our reward. So this evening, I want to take a look at the responsibilities of kings and priests, just to see how we can, in this age, apply these principles now. So, the title is Practicing to be a Priest and King Now. A kingdom has four elements to it. It has a king, it has territory, it has subjects, and it has laws to govern by. And of course, the kingdom of God will have Christ as the king, and us ruling under him as kings and priests also. The earth is going to be the territory, because we know it's not going to be in heaven. And the people left alive are going to be the subjects. The people that survive into the millennium physically are going to be the subjects. And God's laws to be administered and lived by. Those are the laws that are going to be governing people. Now, what do we have in this age, at this present time? Well, we have the king. And every wife will tell you that's the husband. The man is the head of the family, just as Christ is the head of every man. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians. This thing picks up noise everywhere. 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 3 it says, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So here you see, brethren, even Christ has someone over him, which is God the Father. So the man is responsible to Christ of how he rules his territory. And his territory is his house, his yard, or his farm, or his acreage. So men, we are loving, kind, patient to our wives and children. That's how we're to be. Now, do we rule our household like Christ would? That's the big question. And hopefully, none of us are tyrants, because that's not the way Christ will rule in the future, and that's not how he rules now. What about our territory? How does your territory look? In other words, the last time that you cut the grass, did you find an old Volkswagen there in your front yard? You know, since you hadn't cut the grass in a year. You know, or does your yard, your territory look well maintained, or is it an eyesore, a source of complaints to others? You know, a few years ago, I drove down the back roads of North Carolina from Boone to Marion. It was quite an experience. My son-in-law was driving me, and he wanted to show me kind of like the off-road route. Well, several things struck me. One was, every single yard had junk in it. Every single one. An old car, an old piece of machinery. I mean, some of the machinery I didn't recognize, but it was all rusty, all sitting in the front yard. And there was garbage every foot down both sides of the road. So down there, I guess they have their McDonald's hamburger and they take the wrapper and just throw it out the window. I mean, it was just so noticeable, because up here it's not quite that bad. And I thought, wow. And then my son-in-law says, he says, "Yeah, we're coming up to an interesting fella just a few miles down the road here." He says he likes Volkswagen Beetles. You know, the cars. So anyway, I looked over to the left, and I think he had 38 of them strewn out through this whole field. And I don't know what he was doing with them. He just liked to collect Volkswagen Beetles. My son-in-law says, I don't know what he does with them either, but there they are. It's quite an interesting experience. Now, Another thing, does your neighbor know when you're coming home because the muffler's off your car? I mean, you know, when we lived in Langley, I always knew when the kids that lived up the street were coming because you could hear this pulsating sound of vroom, vroom. You know, and the windows in the car were almost bulging out from the base of their radio turned up to the max. And you could hear this thing about half a mile away, and I'd say to my wife, yeah, they're coming home now. I mean, you know, that's our territory. Our territory is also your desk at work, if you have one. Interesting, the other day my secretary came over and said to me, she said, the foreman's office looks like a bomb went off in it. Because he's not a tidy type of person. He's got papers strewn everywhere. She says, at least when you fill in for him, it's reasonably organized. And I took it as a bit of a compliment because I'm a bit of a fussy guy personally, but not everybody's like that. I worked with a fella, I've worked with him for years. His last name is Bussy, and he's fussy, so we call him Fussy Bussy. But I mean, he's just really neat. I mean, his territory is something to be proud of. You know, everything, his car, his house, it's meticulous. So that's our territory, brethren. Your toolbox at work, your office, the things that you're responsible for. And if you're single, it's your room. I mean, I have to tell my son today, I says, clean up your room. It looks like a disaster area. I mean, and I don't know how he can get it so messy. I was never like that personally, so I just bothers me when I see his room. Of course, the third thing is subjects. And what about our subjects? And I don't mean in a demeaning way to the ladies, but subjects are wives and family, you know, from the kingdom point of view. And I fully understand that the husband and the wife work together as a team, and I'm looking at it from that kingdom point of view, but you know, the wife is also the queen, and the children are subjects in that, you know, type of relationship too. And I don't mean, you know, a man walking 10 feet ahead of his wife and she's got, you know, one child in each arm and a bag, and then also carrying his briefcase because he's really important, you know, and two or three kids hanging on to her skirt. I mean, that's not what I mean. You know, that's a form of slavery. That's not a partnership. But what about the children? Are they in control or out of control? How do they behave? Because their behavior eventually, because of part of the territory, reflect back on you and eventually back on the church. I'd just like you to turn to First Timothy in that regard. First Timothy 3. Verses 4 and 5, it says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Now this is in reference to a bishop, but the principle is the same. I mean, if you can't take care of your own house, how's God going to increase your responsibilities now or in the future? It just doesn't make any sense. Now the fourth point is laws to govern by. A king has to have be knowledgeable in the law of God, and I'd like you to turn over to Joshua chapter 1 in regards to this. In Joshua 1, verse 7, it says, this is God speaking to Joshua. It says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So prosperity and success, you know, was linked to having a good knowledge of the law of God, which is the Bible. Of course, knowing the law has twofold application. As an individual, it helps you to stay close to God, and secondly, in the area of judging matters, that, you know, because the king was to judge matters and to judge rightly based on his knowledge of the law of God. That's why it's important for a man to take the lead in knowledge and application of God's law in the family. Furthermore, God holds him responsible for that task. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." And verse 10, "Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach your children.'" So the responsibility of God's law is your responsibility, not only to pass it on to your children, but to your grandchildren. So it's quite an awesome responsibility that God has laid upon us. And God's law tells us how to have a relationship with him, and also a relationship with our neighbors. Of course, this is summarized in the Ten Commandments, plus the laws and principle covering a host of situations and how to deal with them, which is all covered in the book of the law. The other function we'll have is that of a priest. Now, a priest in ancient times administered the laws, looked after the temple service, the sacrifices, collected tithes, performed animal sacrifices. Of course, today we don't have a temple and all the services that go with it. Today we are the temple of God, if God's Spirit dwells in us. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 3 in that regard. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, Paul talking here, says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So we also have Jesus as our high priest, the title he holds. So practicing to be a priest now, in the future, will involve following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, reflecting in our thinking his thoughts. That's how we do it today. And you over in Corinthians, just turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So those of us that are baptized have the mind of Christ in us. And over in Philippians 2, Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." So the reference here is the mind of God which was in Christ Jesus. That's what we have to have in our minds. Reflecting on our actions, his actions and situations, you should be asking yourself, how would Christ handle a situation? That's what you've got to ask yourself. Any given situation, if there's a question in your mind on how to act, ponder, how would Christ handle this? Let's go over to Romans 12. Romans 12. And verse 2 it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So here again, brethren, we're not to be conformed to the world, but we are to have a transformation in our mind with the help of God and God's Spirit, helping us to become a perfect man and doing the perfect will of God. We must continually renew our minds, and that is done by prayer, which is our contact with God. Priests were to know how the law of God and all its, were to know the law of God and all its applications. We get to know the law of God and its application by keeping our noses in the Bible, asking God for understanding of his word and the correct application of his word. And it's interesting, sometimes you can read a scripture and all of a sudden it's like, who put that there? You know, it was there all along, but your understanding is open to it. And it's just amazing. You know, you may have read something 12 times, and the 13th time you read it, something new comes out of it. Or else you hear a minister speak about a certain area of the Bible, and you think to yourself, man, I've read that many times, and I've never viewed it from that point. Well, this is God's Spirit working in us, you know, building up that area in our lives that in the future we have to be priests and kings, and that's all part of our training now. So brethren, in the future we will be ruling with Christ as kings and priests, and we are in training now. And one of the yardsticks used by God is the following principle, and that's found in Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is the least is unjust also in much." And verse 11, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" So the principle is, if you can handle your responsibilities now, in this life, faithfully, you know, and practicing now to be a priest and a king, then God can increase those responsibilities in the world tomorrow when Christ returns. So it's evident that the test for us now is, will we be faithful in the areas we have been given responsibilities over? Which is our homes, our family, our work, offices or locations. Are we close to God? Do we understand and apply His laws in our lives? How do we do in these areas is how God can determine if we can handle much larger responsibilities in the kingdom. And in its not too distant future, which this Feast of Tabernacles pictures. So brethren, let's act like kings and priests now, being faithful in the little things that we have to do, so that later we can inherit the universe and all the responsibilities that go with it. And that is going to be an awesome, awesome responsibility. And believe me, you look at the conditions in the world today, this world needs God's kingdom so desperately, it's just unbelievable. So let's ensure that we have a joyful feast, and let's all get a good night's rest, and let's really, you know, rejoice in being here and fellowship with one another. So we'll see you all tomorrow.